With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Thursday, March 8th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next half hour to 40 minutes or so as we go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me. And you know what? I just couldn't stay away from you guys and girls, so I figured I'd do a little bit of recording here today, talk a little bit of college basketball with some of the conference tournaments going on. I've picked up some observations from following those. Also, I want to get some NBA and NHL here on the program, and you know, I kind of thought about doing this last minute, so no guests today, but I'm just going to ramble here for about 35 to 40 minutes or so and give you some of my thoughts on what's going on out there in the sports betting markets. And like I said, I just couldn't stay away. So I may do this fly solo tomorrow and, you know, just give you something there with that. Maybe I'll try to pick up a guest, something like that. But you know what I realized? Hey, next week and the following week, it's okay not to have shows during March Madness because, you know, all of us are getting our bets in the morning and getting ready for the round of 64, and then, of course, the Sweet 16 the following week there on Thursday and Friday. But you know what? Conference tournament games have been going on during the day here already this week. So I thought to myself, well, let's go ahead and record a little something and throw something out there for our loyal listeners. So you know, hopefully I don't ramble on for too long here on today's show. But there are a lot of things to talk about, including all the great stuff that's going on over at bangthebook.com right now, where we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. All 30 of my MLB season win totals have been posted. I've got division and pennant futures odds posted over there. Also, I finished up that long document that we're going to put into a PDF, so you'll be able to download that entire guide over at bangthebook.com. Probably today, could be tomorrow. We'll see when we do get that squared away. There'll be a link to download it right on the main page, and then, of course, on the baseball page as well. So 227 pages of baseball insight, one last page, where I thank some people that really helped me out with that guide. But, you know, it's a great way to get into the season. I understand it is a mountain of reading. It's a lot of reading. It's more than, you know, famous novels that have been written in the past. But, you know, read it at your leisure. Read the teams that you want to look at. Of course, I do have some picks that are stronger than others out there. And I'll talk about those a little bit more as we get closer to the season. I mean, let's be honest here. It's still only March 8th. You know, we've got a guy like Zach Davies now with a strained oblique. And it may seem like kind of an innocuous thing for a pitcher, but you got to keep in mind here that, you know, while these guys have been in camp for about a month, they're still building up arm strength. You know, we saw Jose Quintana last night in the Cubs-Indians game get pulled right at 50 pitches. So these guys are still trying to build up their arms, still trying to put themselves in a position, you know, to throw 100 pitches, six innings, stuff like that. When you get an oblique injury like this for Zach Davies, you know, this is something that probably carries over into May now because you have to wait for the oblique to heal. Then he's basically got to go through, you know, the beginning parts of spring training all over again, try to build up some arm strength in the minors. So that's why if you're interested in overs for these teams, you certainly want to hold off and make sure that these teams do get through spring training healthy, because again, something like an oblique, some sort of, you know, back discomfort, those things linger and they have longer ranging impacts than you would expect. So especially in the case of starting pitchers where you've got some guys that, you know, may suffer some of these muscle problems, an intercostal or an oblique or something like that, you know, not to mention you got a situation in Toronto like Marcus Stroman's dealing with some arm soreness. You're going to have a lot of that where guys are, you know, trying to ramp up for the season. They get a little bit of a dead arm. They've got that forearm soreness. They've got that shoulder soreness, something like that. In an ideal world, of course, you know, those are things that are going to be very minor and teams are just exercising the most caution possible. But you're also going to have some situations where those things linger, MRIs show more, stuff like that. And when you're betting an over, you know, you really need almost all hands on deck for that. If you're betting an under, obviously, don't worry about it because that's a good thing for you when it comes to the wager that you've put in there. But you'll watch for these things here in spring training. I know it's hard with college basketball going on to stay on top of all the latest with that. But, you know, that Zach Davies one came across the wire yesterday. Now the Rays have another pitcher going for Tommy John surgery and Jose De Leon, Brent Honeywell already out for the season. That's a big loss for them, too. and also the Rays doing some interesting things with a four-man rotation. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show when I do some more baseball stuff, but you know, I kind of went off on a tangent here. But that MLB guide will be posted over at bangthebook.com with all 30 season win totals right there together for you, plus my division futures, pennant futures, World Series futures, then also my Home Run King article, which I think you'll find very, very interesting if you get a chance to check that out. But also over at the website, I've got my NBA, NHL situational betting articles that go up every week, NASCAR previews for the Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy Cup Series events this week. Those are out in Avondale, Arizona, what used to be Phoenix International Raceway. Now it's ISM Raceway. We've got daily NBA, NHL, college basketball picks and previews over there. Our matchup data section, where you can see side-by-side statistical comparisons of the two teams in action. We've got our free pick contest where you can win cash prizes in those. We've brought back the Bang 200 promo code over at DSI Sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the Sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino as well. So that Bang 200 code is active over there. Check out that Bookmaker article about their $1 million perfect bracket challenge. If you have an account over at Bookmaker and meet the criteria to get into that or pay the 10 bucks to get into that, then you'll have the opportunity to win $1 million if you can fill out that perfect bracket. Everybody is a winner in that contest, though. If you finish towards the bottom, you'll get some bet points for it. If you finish in the top 100, you'll get cash for it. So check that article out over at bangthebook.com as well. And then along with that, we've got our sportsbook reviews and betting trends and power ratings and standings and just so much going on over there at the website that can really help you out at this time of the year. Also, good tennis preview up for the event at Indian Wells from at Big Ten Watto. You can check that out. We've got a couple new writers that have joined us here over the last couple of weeks. We've kind of thrown out some test articles for them, so we'll see how those wind up doing. But hey, you know, it's a busy time of year. We're always looking for more help. If you're interested in writing for us, please reach out to me on Twitter at Skating Tripods, or you can email me, adam@bangthebook.com. And speaking of those two ways to contact me, don't forget about another edition of the Monday Mailbag here coming up on our Monday show after the brackets have been released. I guarantee a lot of you will have futures hedging questions to discuss. Lockie Lockerson's got a good article over at bangthebook.com about the approach to futures, whether you want to hold, whether you want to hedge, stuff like that. Then also next week, Lockie and I are each going to take a couple of regions for March Madness. We're going to look at Sweet 16 odds, futures odds once the bracket's drawn, things of that sort, how you can look to hedge some of those futures that you have out there. So we've got some really good stuff coming your way next week over there at the website. As far as on today's show goes, like I said, to be completely honest with you, I felt kind of guilty that we weren't recording anything today. You know, if it's a holiday or something like that, that's one thing. But, you know, like I said, as I got to thinking about it, I thought to myself, you know what, our listeners deserve something today. So I'm going to put something out there for them. And, you know, I was looking around at some interesting betting angles to take a look at here for these conference tournaments. And, you know, we talked about Conference USA. Kyle Hunter and I talked about that on Monday's show. And do yourself a favor. Go on Twitter, Google the stars or the four, or this, whatever, the Ford Center at the Star, whatever the hell that thing's called, in Frisco, Texas. But it is a very strange setup. You have very deep backdrops behind the baskets on both courts. You've got temporary stands put up on both sidelines. You know, maybe for the semifinals and the championship game, they may close that in a little bit because, you know, they could move those temporary seats to behind the baskets, which, you know, would obviously create an even much different dynamic for the players that are playing in those games. But the under, if you jumped on the early numbers here, one of them fell almost on the number. The FIU game fell about 130. I think it fell 137. It was either 136.5 or 137 on the close. But if you got in on those Conference USA unders, they went 3-1 in yesterday's action. Another round of games coming up here today. So it is a very, very strange shooting backdrop. Struggle a little bit from the free throw lines in the early games. So that's still an angle that you can look to consider here in that Conference USA tournament. Another thing, speaking of the totals market, we're seeing some big line moves here on totals for teams that are playing their first games in a tournament. You've got in the A-10, Dayton and VCU, also Duquesne and Richmond. And again, keep in mind that A-10 tournament this year in Washington, D.C. for the first time. So it's a completely new venue for a lot of these teams. So we're seeing some totals movement on that. TCU and Kansas State, Baylor and West Virginia, both of those in the Big 12 Conference Tournament in Kansas City. First game for those four teams. So we've seen the total go down in those matchups. Alabama, Texas A&M, LSU, Mississippi State, again, first matchup in the SEC Conference Tournament there in St. Louis for those four teams. So the total's gone down with those. Providence and Creighton out there in the Big East Conference Tournament. We've seen the total go down for that one as well. A couple of games in Cleveland for the MAC Tournament. Miami and Toledo is another one that's gone down. I imagine we'll see some of the others kind of creep down as we go throughout the day. Tulane and Temple in the AAC, that's another one that's gone down here. So, you know, again, obviously you've lost a little bit of line value with some of these moves that have happened in these conference tournament games thus far, but this is a big angle to keep in mind for next year. And I know it's a very long way away. You know, obviously we're, 350 days or whatever away from another round of conference tournaments, but these are things that you want to pay close attention to here is that, you know, when a team is taking the floor for the first time at a neutral site, the market is just going out there and grabbing what it perceives to be line value. And another really important thing about this too is that, you know, you can do a lot of derivative betting now. And this is a great time of year to do it. We saw a couple of those opportunities last night where I played Notre Dame in the first half against Virginia Tech because, you know, I thought to myself, okay, Notre Dame's played a game here on this surface at the Barclays Center. Virginia Tech has not. They're a jump shooting team. Could be a problem for them coming out of the gate. So I played Notre Dame minus half a point. Obviously, they shot very poorly in the first half. They were 8 of 32 from the floor, 3 of 16 from 3, 5 of 16 inside the arc. It is what it is. You know, those kind of things happen. Syracuse also shot the ball very poorly in their second game against North Carolina. North Carolina cruised to the victory in that one. First higher seed, I should say, to actually win a game in that conference tournament in yesterday's action. But now, these are the types of angles that you want to look for. These are the types of things that you want to put in the back of your mind as we go into next season. We'll have, you know, a different set of venues. We'll have conference tournaments returning to a venue. The SEC goes back to Nashville, for example. You've got, you know, just all these tournaments that move around here. And so when teams are playing in these different facilities with these different shooting backdrops, especially distance shooting, you know, if you've got a jump shooting team that, you know, look at Conference USA, for example. You got Western Kentucky and Marshall playing today. I firmly expect both of those teams to struggle shooting the basketball in the first half. So whether you want to play the first half under, the opposite side on the spread, or the opposite side on the money line, something like that, you know, again, there's still variance involved. It's still a high volatility environment, but you know, you're trying to play these edges to give yourself some sort of advantage over the sports books, over the lines that are out there. It doesn't always work out. No, Notre Dame didn't work out for me yesterday, but if you played Notre Dame in the second half or if you played the full game, they found a way to get you there. So use those derivatives. Use live betting to your advantage. Look for those opportunities. Look for those situations because, hey, you're watching a lot of these games anyway. You know, you're very interested in the conference tournaments. You want to do some scouting for March Madness. You want to follow along with some of the teams that you have futures on. Use those derivatives. Use that live betting to your advantage. And I think you can do a really good job with these conference tournaments. And again, there's a lot more value in conference tournaments than there is in March Madness because you've got 32 first-round games when you get to March Madness. You know, you've got 64 teams. We'll take away the play-in games here, obviously. But you've got 32 games on Thursday and Friday. You've got 16 games each day. That's not a lot. In the parlance of college basketball, that's not a lot to have that few number of games. So when you look at these conference tournaments and you've got 40, 50, 60 games a day, early on at least, you know, then it's one of those situations where you have more edges, more opportunities. The odds aren't going to be as efficient. And also, too, you know, motivation is such a big thing here at this time of the year. And I'll bring it back to a game I looked at and played on yesterday's card, Colorado State and Utah State. Now, Colorado State jumped out to a 20-5 lead in this game. And as we talked about with the Mountain West Conference Tournament, Colorado State, a team that's gone through quite a bit here this year, Larry Eustace suspended for, you know, some things that happened within the program. And this is a team that's on its third coach now. What is their incentive? You know, why would they be, you know, a team that wants to go out there and continue playing games? They jump out to a 20-5 lead. And if you played Utah State, you're kind of sitting there, you know, puckering a little bit because you're like, what the hell's going on here? Well, by the end of the first half, Utah State trimmed the lead to 2, won the second half by 13, covered the full game 6.5 pretty easily, but you would have had great opportunities there to double down on your Utah State position. You know, Utah State just came out cold. Colorado State came out a little bit warm. It's probably not going to continue. And when a team like Colorado State faces some of that adversity, they're going to fold the tent. They're going to say, you know what? Kind of ready for this thing to be over anyway. And that's exactly what happened in that game yesterday. Then Utah State, of course, able to pull away and kind of put it away late there. But you know, those are situations that you want to look for here because you can handicap motivation in the early rounds of the conference tournaments. You know, we kind of saw it yesterday with UNLV. You know, they were looking ahead to that game against Nevada, needed overtime to beat Air Force, still almost found a way to cover double digits because Air Force was so bad defensively in the overtime period. But still, you look for those situational angles, look for those motivation angles here in the conference tournaments. You don't get that in March Madness. You will not get that in the NCAA tournament next week. Every team, when they get to a point when the stakes are that high, they want to play, they're going to play, they're going to go all out for however long that game takes. So you can use those angles to your advantage here during conference tournaments. And, of course, you can use those angles to your advantage in the other postseason tournaments as well. And I was talking with Kyle Hunter yesterday. We were kind of looking at what was going on, and we saw the Arizona State outcome come in the Pac-12 tournament. And both of us were like, man, the Sun Devils are an auto fade in the first round of the NIT. They'll be at home. Are they really going to want to play in that tournament? And that's, of course, if they don't make the NCAA tournament. But those motivational angles are huge in those other postseason tournaments. And you want to get, you know, into the rhythm of playing those, not just here during the conference tournaments, not just during the postseason tournaments, but during the regular season as well, because you can really find some very, very good edges here. And the nice thing about it too is, you know, you don't have to be a stat head. You don't have to know these rosters inside and out. Follow the schedule. Look at the betting markets. These are things that, you know, can help you narrow down the card, and then you kind of dig in a little bit more. I know time is limited for everybody. You know, a lot of our listeners out there working 9-to-5s, maybe doing shift work, maybe you're doing, you know, some stuff with the graveyard shift, whatever. But, you know, time is a factor. You got families, you got kids, you got shit you got to do. Dance recitals, karate practice, you know, all that type of stuff. You know, it's hard to handicap if this isn't a full-time job for you. But what you can do is, you know, use that schedule to your advantage. Pull up that app when you're sitting on the crapper or when you're sitting in traffic or whatever. You know, look at some of those scheduling spots for some of these teams. Try to find some of those advantages. Again, you know, these are very important concepts that, you know, don't require you to know the teams inside and out. It saves you some time to be able to handicap from a scheduling standpoint and to also understand, you know, what the value of motivation is here at this time of the year. A few other interesting things I picked up yesterday with some of the conference tournament action. Teams with double-digit first-half leads that covered in the second half, 6 of the 14 did that. So that may be an angle that I'm going to be trying to look at here a little bit more, because as these games grow in importance, you know, you're going to have some pretty big talent gaps here, especially with some of the lower seeds finding ways to win games. If you're playing a third game in 3 days tomorrow or a fourth game in 4 days the next day, and you've got a double-digit lead, you go out there, you build yourself a bit of a cushion, you're going to take the air out of the basketball, you're going to start to do some things with your bench. So watch out for this one. I know it was only 6 of 14 last night, or, well, if you went obviously on the other side, you were 8 for 14 in those, 8 and 6. If you took the underdog, not necessarily the underdog, but the team that was facing the big deficit in the second half, watch out for this. And it could go either way, because, again, I talk about motivational angles. If you're a team getting your doors blown off at halftime and you're playing a superior opponent, what are you going to do in the second half? Are you going to fold? Are you going to roll over? Are you going to just, you know, completely cede control of the game? Are coaches going to empty the benches and play some young guys to get them some experience? You know, yeah, you have some considerations like that. But I think a lot of times, you know, these kids play with pride. These coaches get them to play with pride. I have to think that they'll try to trim the gaps as much as possible. So watch for some of those teams with big first-half leads to put it in cruise control in the second half. Also, another thing here, second half overs. You know, as I'm watching this Air Force and UNLV game, and a buddy of mine was actually on Air Force plus the 10.5, you know, he's sweating it out in overtime, and Air Force is out there falling, you know, down 8 with 19 seconds left or down 7 with 12 seconds left, whatever the case may be. You know, you look for these teams that aren't going to quit. You know, this is, especially if you've got some senior-laden teams and these will be the last minutes that they play together, the last few possessions that they play together, they don't want that game to end. You know, they're going to keep falling. They're going to play it out. They're going to see if they can get that miracle. So in yesterday's action, by my count, I could be give or take one game here. I was throwing this together pretty quickly here this morning when I decided to do a show. Second half over is 19 and 12 yesterday. And if it was a game that was decided by 7 points or less, the second half over 13 and 5. Now, of course, this makes perfect sense because, as I mentioned, teams are fouling a lot, and you get points with the clock stopped. You know, teams are going to run down. You know, whoever's down, they're going to run down as quick as possible. They're going to get an uncontested layup because the team doesn't want to foul and give them the and one. Inbound the ball, whistle, two shots down the other end, lather, rinse, repeat. So watch for this here. In games where, you know, you've got maybe an adjusted second half total where it looks like it's going to be, you know, a two or three possession game. If you've got a full game line, looks like it's going to be a two or three possession game. Look for those second half overs here because teams are not going to want to give up. Unless, of course, they're getting blown out, in which case, you know, it is what it is. And you can probably look to, you know, maybe do some live activity at that point. But in games that should be competitive, in games that should be close, as we get down to the wire here, the second half over is going to be very, very favorable for you. And like I said, in games decided by 7 points or less yesterday, 13-5, and I think there were a couple 8-point games that also went over the total. So, again, you want to look for all of these derivative betting opportunities. And I've talked about this before. It's really great to be able to play these derivatives. In the first half, you can play based on the expectation of how you think the game is going to go. In the second half, you've got 20 minutes of data when it comes to a college basketball game, or you've got 24 minutes of data for an NBA game. You've seen the flow of the game. You've gotten an idea for what's going on. Yeah, coaches are going to make adjustments, and yeah, there may be foul trouble in the second half and things of that sort. But if you're being observant, if you're watching what's going on here, you can find some really good derivative opportunities. And that's why I think, and I've talked about this before, it's all about first half, second half, and live betting for me. There's just so much variance when you bet a full game. And I mean, look at yesterday. You know, you had some teams that were down large amounts in the first half, came back and won, came back and covered. You had some teams that were, you know, playing close games in the first half and then blew teams out in the second half. You're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm in good shape with this dog at plus 8. And then all of a sudden they lose the second half by 15. You're like, what the hell happened here? You know, I think you can take some of that variance, some of that volatility out of the equation by playing first and second halves. And especially here in these conference tournaments with what's on the line, what's coming next for teams with the one and done format, you know, you have an off shooting performance, you're done. So there's that extra incentive to where you can get a read on these teams. You can get a better understanding of what they plan to be doing. So I think there are a lot of great betting angles out there for these conference tournaments and specifically for derivative betting. All right, let's look at the NBA here for a couple of minutes. We haven't talked too much about the NBA here this week on the program, and you know, really hard. There's only so much time we can do here on the show. And a lot of our guests, you know, focused on college basketball right now because that's what their clients want, and that's where the opportunities really are, because the NBA is very tough here at this time of the year. I mean, personally, I think the NBA is tough year-round because you've got varying motivations, teams resting guys, teams tanking, travel situations. You know, I play the schedule to my advantage, and you can read that situational article that I have over at bangthebook.com every Sunday afternoon. The NBA is just a challenging market. You know, it's just there's a finite number of games each day, usually no more than, you know, 8 or 9. Sometimes you get those rare days where there are 12 or 13, but, you know, with the extra off days incorporated into the schedule, you don't see too many of those anymore. So there's just not a lot of opportunities, not a lot of values out there in the NBA betting market as far as I'm concerned. But there are a few games I'm looking at here tonight, and one of them, I'm actually surprised to see this line moving against my thought process in game 651-652 between the Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets. You've got the Charlotte Hornets here facing a team in the Brooklyn Nets, wrapping up a 10-day road trip. Now, they flew cross-country yesterday to play this game in Charlotte tonight. They were out on the West Coast. They played on Tuesday night there against Golden State. They covered in that game as a 15-point dog. But you know, this is a team that, look, they've covered 4 of their last 5, so maybe the market kind of excited about them a little bit. And certainly look at a team like Charlotte, and it's very hard to invest too much in them when they've got some expectations because they're just not a very good team. However, when you look back at what Charlotte's done here, they've covered in their last 3 games as a favorite, have done so rather comfortably as well. Beat the Bulls by 15, laying 11.5, beat the Pistons by 16, laying 4.5, and then beat Brooklyn by 15, laying 8.5. They were laying 8.5 to Brooklyn back on February 22nd. Brooklyn is at the end of a 10-game road trip, and this number is only 6.5 tonight. Someone's going to have to explain that one to me. And again, you know, every game I talk about here and every game that anybody talks about here, it's not a lock, but we're playing based on probabilities. We're playing based on the edges that we know. And in this case here, I feel like Charlotte has a great edge, a great advantage in this game. And look, you know, this is a team, yeah, they've dropped four straight and they're falling out of the playoff picture, but still, you know, there's a lot of pride on that team. You've got a leader in Kemba Walker who's not going to quit playing. And you've got this Brooklyn team, 8-24 on the road. They've lost 9 of 10. You know, they're ready to get home. This is a brutal road trip for a team that has absolutely nothing to play for. Not to mention, three-way tie in the bottom of the Eastern Conference at 20-45. All three of those teams trailing Phoenix and Memphis in the race for the best odds for the NBA draft lottery. I don't get this line move here. And again, it probably has something to do with the fact that Charlotte, just not a very good team. But this is about as bad of a spot as it gets for Brooklyn. So maybe you take a first half play on Charlotte. Maybe you take the full game play on Charlotte. Maybe you wait and see what happens early on and lock in a live play. But I really don't expect much from the Brooklyn Nets here tonight. And these are the types of spots that you want to look for. I mean, Charlotte is not a good team, but they're not a tanking team either. You know, Brooklyn is a team in the tank, and that's very clear. Losing 9 of 10, I mean, the only other team that's done that here is the New York Knicks, and we all know that they don't have Kristaps Porzingis right now, so you know, there's not really a whole lot of incentive for them to go out there and win ball games. So, look, I get it. I guess it's moving against me because no one wants to trust Charlotte laying a big price, but this situational spot for Brooklyn, very, very bad. Good game here tonight between Boston and Minnesota. I actually wrote up this one in my situational article, but I also wrote about it here in my How to Bet piece over at bangthebook.com. That's on the front page. You can check that out. Boston, couple days off. Minnesota, 5 days off prior to this game. So you kind of wonder if the Timberwolves can get into rhythm quickly. That's one that you could read about over there at bangthebook.com. And another one that I threw in my situational piece here, San Antonio and Golden State. And the reason being, you know, it's just a different type of atmosphere when these two teams get together. Even if LaMarcus Aldridge is banged up, even if Kawhi Leonard's not playing, you know, San Antonio is still a very, very good defensive team. Maybe offensively they don't have the horses to go with Golden State. But you kind of look at a spot like this and you sort of ask yourself, you know, is Golden State ready to make a move here? And it certainly looks like that's the case. They've rattled off 6 in a row, 9 of 10. And you look at the Western Conference here, New Orleans with 10 in a row, Portland with 8 in a row, Golden State 6 in a row, Houston 17 in a row. So for Golden State here, you know, a team that's already dropped 7 games at home, which is something that we really haven't seen from them over the last few years, a team that won 73 games last year, you know, they kind of look at the first half and go, you know what, we got to pace ourselves a little bit. We got to make it a point to get through this thing healthy. We're all a year older. We all have 3 straight years of deep finals runs in us. Let's kind of put it in cruise control a little bit here in the first half. We'll dial it up in the second half. So I kind of look at a game like this, and I wonder to myself, is this a game where San Antonio is just totally overmatched? I know they're good defensively. They have dropped 7 of 10, and they have some injury issues. But this sort of feels like one of those types of games where Golden State goes, you know what? We got to keep pace with Houston. We had our fun in the first half. You know, Steve Kerr let us coach a game. We've kind of dicked around a little bit. Let's go out there and blow somebody out. Let's go out there and blow out a name opponent, a team that we've played a lot of close games with. Sort of feels to me like that could be the spot here for Golden State. Obviously, I don't blame you if you don't want to lay 11 with, you know, one of the best defensive teams in the league on the other side. But still, these are the types of considerations, the types of situations that you want to look for here in the NBA at this time of the year. And I got 5 games listed in my situational article for Friday, 3 more for Saturday, 3 more for Sunday. So some good situational spots coming up here this weekend. And depending on what I decide to do tomorrow, I'll see if maybe I record something early in the morning for you. Maybe I'll talk some more about those NBA games. If not, you know, maybe we'll have a guest or something like that. But again, make sure you check out that article every Sunday over there at bangthebook.com. Now, over on the NHL side of things, again, situational elements and situational betting angles are, you know, still very, very prevalent here. And I picked on one last night with the Calgary Flames and the Buffalo Sabres. So this is one open minus 135. I got it in the minus 140 range. Closed minus 165. And for Buffalo on Monday night, they had a big emotional win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And when you're a team like Buffalo and you're dealing with these injuries, you're missing Jack Eichel, you're missing some other guys that are pretty prominent for you. Obviously, you just traded away Evander Kane. You're going to get up in certain spots. It's not going to be a thing where you play with a massive effort night in and night out. You're going to play in certain spots. They stepped up and played against Toronto on Monday night. Calgary last night, Calgary, a non-conference opponent, not really a whole lot of incentive for them. Back-to-back for the Sabres as well. They play in Ottawa here tonight. Not a great spot for them. Not to mention, Buffalo, right before the All-Star break, you know, I went to their game in mid-January up there in Buffalo. They were playing Dallas in an afternoon game. They got their doors blown off. They lost 6-1. They got booed off the ice multiple times in that game. Then they go to on a Western Canada road trip, and they swept the damn thing. They beat Calgary at the Saddle Dome. So Calgary also in a revenge spot here. You know that they remember something like that, losing to a team as bad as Buffalo. Easy 5-1 winner for Calgary last night. So these are spots that you want to look to play in the NHL. And another one that I looked at last night in that situational betting article. You know, again, this is one of those where you kind of have some intuition, you kind of have some instincts, you kind of have some gut feelings. The Philadelphia Flyers are playing very, very well. And in fact, they were up at the top of the Metropolitan for a brief minute. Now it's the Pittsburgh Penguins who beat them 5-1 last night. Philadelphia has now dropped four straight games. Actually, it was 5-2. My apologies. Philadelphia has dropped four straight games. And, you know, I wrote in my situational article as I was looking at the schedule for the week, I wrote this on Saturday. And I said, doesn't this just feel like a game Pittsburgh wins? Doesn't this feel like a game that the Penguins, you know, against an in-state rival, somebody they've had a lot of battles with in the past, a Flyers team that's playing, you know, at that time they had been playing pretty well, but they've certainly cooled off here this week. Just feels like Pittsburgh is the right side there in that spot. And look, I'm somebody that believes in the quantifiable. I'm somebody that believes in, you know, saber metrics for Major League Baseball. And I'm starting to get into the NHL metrics a little bit more. And I look at the efficiency metrics in the NBA and college. I like to have that kind of stuff. I like to have that kind of data. But at the same time, you don't want to completely lose sight of some of those gut feelings that you have, of some of those intuitions that you have. You don't always want to act on them necessarily, but I do think that you want to keep them under consideration. And when I looked at that game, I didn't play it, but you know, that was the thought that I had over the weekend. It wound up coming to fruition. Again, just, you know, it was also an over as well. So, you know, that was another angle I talked about, but you know, don't discredit that type of stuff. Don't discount that type of thing. You know, I know that we all want concrete angles to eliminate as much variance as possible, and I'm certainly that kind of person. But at the same time, you know, you probably know more than you think you do. If you've been a fan, if you've been watching games for a long time, if you've been following the betting markets, you've picked up on some things throughout your handicapping career. That felt like one of them there for me with Pittsburgh. And again, I don't advise doing that all of the time. But, you know, again, that was a situation that did wind up working out for us. So as we look at the NHL card here for tonight, a few things I'm looking at here. The Anaheim Ducks and the Nashville Predators. Pretty interesting game here in this one. Predators have rattled off 9 in a row. They're playing very, very well. There is minus 155 favorite here in this game. And that should sound some alarm bells for you. Now, this is not to say that I'm going to play Anaheim. But, you know, my situational article, I was looking at this one and saying, you know, the Predators have a chance to get back home. I didn't like them in their spot on Tuesday night against the Dallas Stars. They won that game 2-0. And, you know, then they had a day to chill, kind of hang out at home, get back to their home ice advantage, stuff like that. But when you look at this game here, you look at the line that's out there in the market, minus 155 for Nashville at home with rest, having won 9 games in a row. Look at a different game on the board here. Look at Philadelphia and Boston. Now, Boston's the best team in the Eastern Conference per a lot of people. They're a $2 favorite against a Philadelphia team that just a week and a half or so ago was leading the Metropolitan Division. And Boston's a $2 favorite. Nashville, probably the best team here in the Western Conference. A lot of people believe that they are the team to beat out there in that conference. They're only a minus 155 favorite with a great home ice advantage. Now, I get that Philadelphia's on a back-to-back, but these are some of the context clues that you want to look for out there in the betting market to where, to me, as I'm looking at this game, purely from a line standpoint, purely from using the context in the market, it looks like Anaheim is the right side to me. Now, I'm not going to play it because I think Nashville is a phenomenal team. I will watch for Nashville, though, here, because, again, one of the angles I do like to play, when you get a team that's on one of these prolonged winning streaks, fade them the game after they lose that winning streak. So for Nashville, we'll see if they take care of business here tonight, run this thing up to 10. If they don't, you can bet that I'll look to fade the Predators here as they play New Jersey on Saturday night. New Jersey is not a very good team, but you know, it's just one of those angles I like to play because you're in a great rhythm. Things are going well. You can do no wrong. Then you lose a game, and the balloon kind of pops a little bit. You know, some of that high morale gets deflated some. New Jersey will be a big dog in that game, probably in the plus 170, plus 180 range. I'll be happy to take a look at that one there on Saturday. But again, the big point I'm making here is you look for context clues in the betting market. I mean, Philadelphia and Anaheim probably fairly close to even. Maybe Anaheim on a neutral, you know, minus 115, minus 120 favorite, something like that. Boston and Nashville on a neutral, maybe Boston minus 120, minus 125. And yet in these specific matchups here tonight, Boston's 40 to 45 cents bigger of a favorite against Philadelphia. Like I said, the back-to-back angle comes into play, and Philadelphia has some goaltending issues and some other things of that sort. But still, these are the types of context clues that I think you want to look for out there in the betting market. And don't be surprised if Anaheim wins tonight. Now, don't be surprised either if Anaheim loses 4-1 because Nashville's just that good of a team and they've got that great home ice advantage. But still, these are the context clues that you want to look for. This is the way in which you want to try to read the betting market. That's why I follow it every day. Even if I don't have a lot of plays or something like that, I still follow the lines. I still follow the action. I still follow where the money's going, because you get opportunities like this, pick up on something out there in the marketplace. And if you're able to take advantage of those, you know, like I said, I don't know if Anaheim wins tonight, but if they do, it's kind of validation of, you know, looking at those types of angles out there. If you can identify those, that's how you know that you're really grasping the concepts in the betting market. That's how you know that you're getting a good feel for what's going on. And that's certainly something that I try to do day in and day out, no matter how long I've done this for. I still am learning every single day. Day after day, I'm learning something new. I'm picking up on something new. I'm learning a different way of looking at the betting market or incorporating some different statistics or whatever the case may be. And that's the way that you grow as a handicapper. Once you get complacent as a handicapper, that's it for you. You're done. You always have to be adapting, always have to be evaluating, and that's what I'm doing here with the NHL market, what I'm trying to convey to our listeners here on today's program. Just a couple of quick Major League Baseball thoughts here then as well, and I'll bring it back to the Indians game yesterday against the Chicago Cubs. Now, they lost this game, but they opened a minus 130 favorite, Trevor Bauer going up against Jose Quintana. Both guys are going to be limited to about three innings, 50 pitches, 60 pitches, somewhere in that range. But this game was on MLB Network. It was in primetime. It was televised nationally. It was with the WGN broadcast crew, but it was still on MLB Network. And the Indians put out their opening day lineup. And this is something I told you about in the Monday Mailbag segment earlier this week when I had a listener asking about, you know, spring training betting and looking for some edges there with that. Now, the Indians obviously didn't win the game. Bauer didn't pitch very well, but he was working on a lot of sliders and changeups. I watched a couple of innings of this one. He was working on some of those lesser used pitches, trying to develop his arsenal. Arm side fastball command wasn't good, but he was working on a lot of things, gave up eight runs. Doesn't mean anything. You know, don't read too much into spring training statistics. But the point that I'm making here is that the Indians were playing in primetime and put out their opening day lineup. Also, single game tickets went on sale on Tuesday for those that aren't season ticket holders. So, you know, sometimes you get a little bit of this pressure from the front office, from the business side of things, to say, you know what, we're on TV back home. Put some guys in the lineup. Play Lindor. And Lindor made a spectacular defensive play in that game. Put J-Ram out there. You know, put Kipnis out there. And it wound up being pretty much the opening day lineup, with the exception of Bauer in place of Corey Kluber. And yes, the Indians lost. But if you were cognizant of what was happening, pay attention to what was happening, you got 15 cents of line value there. And these spring training lines move very, very quickly. You want to get those edges. Find out from the beat writers who's pitching. Find out what the lineups are going to be, because those are generally out pretty early in the day, because everybody's on a schedule in spring training. You know, pitchers are going to throw X number of days apart. Position players, you know, you may play, you'll start to see guys playing back-to-back games probably next week. You'll start seeing relievers work back-to-back days probably a couple weeks time, or no, probably next week, because you've got the earlier start to the season here on March 29th. But you know, these guys are all on schedule, so you can kind of look around and get a feel for what these lineups are going to be every day, when the starters are going to work, stuff like that. And you know, the market moves very, very quickly because it's an inefficient market. You know, you've got a select number of people that really move this market around, you know, because the books have to respond to any action they get. They're not going to have big handles. So the first big bet that comes in, they're going to move this thing 10, 12, 15 cents probably. So, you know, pay attention to those lineups. Pay attention to those games that are being played in primetime. know, the Indians playing another one in primetime here tonight against the Dodgers with Alex Wood and Josh Tomlin. You know, and this is another one where the line's moved up a little bit on the Indians side. Now, they won't have their opening day lineup out there because all those guys played yesterday. So I'll be curious to see what lineup the Indians do put out for a game like this because guys aren't playing back-to-back. So you may get some younger guys like a Bobby Bradley, Francisco Mejia, something like that. So pay attention to these types of things. If you want to play spring training baseball, if you don't, I don't blame you at all because you feel minor league guys batting in high leverage spots in the eighth and ninth innings that are going to decide your bet. It's a high variance environment, but if you're out there looking to grab price value, you can find some of that stuff by paying attention to the lineups that are out there. And the Indians did that last night with their opening day lineup. And again, it didn't work out, but hey, I mean, they scored, you know, six runs in that game. So the lineup did what it needed to do. Bauer was just working on some things and he kind of felt victim stance there in that one. But I've got lots of Major League Baseball content over at bangthebook.com for you to check out. And if there are ever any questions about sabermetric statistics, any of my philosophies when it comes to betting baseball, any of the resources that I use, any of that type of stuff, please reach out. I love listener feedback. I love being able to talk with people that are interested in the same things that I am. You know, I've got some very close friends here in the area that are sabermetrically inclined, but a lot of them aren't, you know, and it can be a challenge to talk to people that you know, don't understand some of those concepts or what the acronyms mean or anything like that. So if you do, or if you want to, please reach out. Adam@bangthebook.com for email, @SkatingTripods on Twitter. Would love to talk with all of you. So I don't really know what I'm going to do about Friday yet. I can tell you this. If I don't find any guests, I'll still record something quickly here to kind of set you up for the weekend. Talk about, you know, some of the bracket projections that are out there, what you want to do in terms of getting ready for March Madness. So I'll be able to do that on tomorrow's show and also look at, you know, some more of these conference tournament betting angles. Maybe I'll follow up with the second half stats and stuff like that. Maybe I'll get a guest to join me for the NBA or the NHL. If not, I'll still chat with you tomorrow and make sure that we get something out there for the week. Don't forget about the Monday mailbag coming up on Monday at Skating Tripods, adam@bangthebook.com. Kyle Hunter will also join us Monday. Next Tuesday, we'll have Brian Blessing, Tony George, and Brad Powers. Next Wednesday, Next Wednesday, Wes Reynolds, and also Rolf Michaels. Maybe I'll try to get Lockie Lockerson on the show as well if he can make some time with his busy schedule to join us. But you know, like I said, we'll have some good content from him over there at the website. Lots of stuff going on here for March Madness and also the tail end of the conference tournaments. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.